Well, welcome once again to Legacy Leadership Alliance. I am Bishop Sean Cooper, and I'm so excited to share with you here on the podcast. I have someone that is quite incredible. She is beautiful. She is intelligent, and I honor her. 34 years, and that's my beautiful wife, Teresa Cooper. How you doing, baby?
Hey, thanks for having me again. I'm glad to be here on the podcast.
I am very, very excited. Of course, we were talking about some things on the last podcast, and it was so good, Teresa, that you know we decided to do a part two, and dealing with this dynamic of being in ministry, being in business, but working together all these years. It has been a very, very interesting road.
Yes.
It's been an adventure.
Absolutely. It's been adventurous.
It has taught us some things about life and about love and about longevity.
Yes.
That I thought that maybe we really need to share some of these nuggets because, you know, Teresa, there's a lot of couples out there, whether they're in ministry or in business, that are working together, and they're struggling.
Yes.
Trying to find the balance, or, you know, many have ended up in divorce, you know, and they loved each other. They just couldn't live with each other.
Yeah. What did love have to do with it?
Right, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have some nuggets that we want to share with you. So I think it's good, Teresa, that we pick up where we left off last week.
Yes. You know, and one of the things, the title of this podcast is Building Together.
Yeah.
And whether you're building together where you are working together, or you're building together as a two-income household. In other words, you're not working in the same industry, but you're working in a different industry.
Right.
These principles can still work for you because it's about marriage as a team.
Right.
And working together because there's a central, there's a vision, there's
right.
a central focus that you're wanting to establish, and that's your legacy, proof that you are here on
right.
planet Earth.
And that's pretty weighty because most couples, when they get married, don't come into the marriage with this mentality that we're talking about.
You mean
about
teamwork and legacy?
And teamwork, yeah.
They're just trying to figure out
how
they going to make it to year five
absolutely.
Or year 10. Yeah.
And sometimes the depth of it goes as far as buying a house.
Right.
And but they don't think longevity about multi-generations, leaving a legacy, raising a posterity to change the world.
Well,
unless they had the schooling.
Right.
And impartation and mentorship to think on that level.
Absolutely. And so that's why we have this podcast,
yeah.
Legacy Leadership
Alliance. That's
Alliance.
It. That's
so
it.
That we could talk about legacy.
Right.
And that we can talk about it not at 60 or 70.
Right.
But in and around, you know, there's no magic number, but in and around 40, 45, you really sober up.
Right.
And that sobering causes you to think, what type of footprint are you gonna leave, you know, here on Earth? And with who are you going to leave those
right.
footprints, and whose care you're going to leave those footprints with?
But, you know, Psalms, the book of Psalms, the 78th chapter, talk about David, and he was talking about five generations that, you know, teach these principles to your children and your children's children and those that come after you. And so he's talking about five generations into the future.
Yes.
That's hundreds of years into the future that he was teaching his children, his grandchildren, that they ought to think legacy,
yes.
you know, posterity, legacy, dynasty. And so this is very, very significant.
And let me just say this, Sean, because, you know, when you talk about legacy and you talk about leadership, you're talking about succession. And a lot of times people don't talk on that level because they think of mortality. They think of, you know, to talk about that is I'm talking about death, or I'm talking about my exit into the, you know, to the sunset. And it's important that you do have those conversations, and that you build with that in view. Otherwise, life can really cause you to live just in the now. And right. Living in the now is important, but not living in the now at the expense of tomorrow.
Right, right. And so that's very important. So I guess we want to pick up the pillar of what we were talking about last week. And I guess the way we can phrase it is being intentional to win against the enemy of age and stage.
Age and stage.
Because we were talking about longevity.
Yes.
And explain that to them last week, what we were talking about, because the conversation was we had reached a point in working together that you felt you didn't have the grace to go on and help me in the way that you normally help me, and it was okay.
Right.
How did that work?
Yeah, what happened was we were talking, and I said there was an intersection in our relationship where we were building together, but then you wanted to add something new, a new endeavor, a new plate, I would call it, that you wanted to spin on the wheel. And it wasn't that I didn't agree with what you were, you know, this new thing, this new idea, this new sector that we were going in.
Yeah.
It was just that I wasn't in the age or the stage.
Yeah.
That I felt that I had the energy mentally, I didn't have the energy emotionally or physically to 100% help you.
Right.
And that was a new intersection for us.
And a new normal.
And it became a new normal for a time and a season.
Right.
And it really changed the dynamic of our relationship, because at that one point, it was hard for you to digest. What do you mean you're not going to help
me? That's right.
And I said, well, these are my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at my availability, I'll go over some legal things to make sure that we're legit. I'll always be there to make sure that we're paying attention to the bottom line in some areas.
Right.
But the A, B, and the C, and the structure, and helping you, you know, edit or just be fully engaged, I'm not available for that.
Right. And I think what was happening, in fact, I'm pretty clear on it. As you said, it was tough for me because 25 years, we did everything together.
Absolutely.
You knew what you brought to the table.
Right.
And that was your lane, and you executed faithfully. Mm-hmm. I stayed out of that, and I did what I was called to do, mm-hmm. gifted to do. You were the administrator. I was the visionary.
Right.
And perfect. It was a perfect team.
The perfect team. Right.
However, it came a time in our life where I think it was more God's impression, God's intervention, God's interruption, that the Lord decided that it was time for you to rest, and the grace was lifted, your tolerance changed, your ability to contain, well, you smart, but you just felt overwhelmed, and, you know, it just was no more grace for that lane. And what God was doing in me, he had to develop strength, levels of strength in me that I already had. But I think over the years, I just took it for granted and had you to do it. Oh, you can do this.
Right.
And do
or we, you know, I mean, we depended on each other.
Right.
And so it got to a point where it wasn't that you couldn't fly or that you didn't know that you were able to fly. It wasn't necessary because someone else was fulfilling that area within what you were building. So you had energy to do what you were doing, create a whole nother system,
right.
A whole nother arm that which we were building.
And I thought that I needed you for those giftings.
Right. That couldn't work unless I was helping.
But it was in me.
Right.
It was undeveloped.
Right.
It was laying dormant. Right. But when the time came, God began to cultivate. Then I began to ministrate, create models and systems. And I recognized that I had untapped potential in me.
Right.
You know, sometimes, I guess, in the journey of working together, if we're not careful, we can be a crutch to one another.
Absolutely. That's the magic word.
Yeah, we can be a crutch to one another. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times where I think that married people don't make it in the world of business or the world of ministry working together is because they're not discerning those shifts. You know what I mean?
The changes.
The changes and not being able to assimilate and bounce back and understand that it is a kingdom thing. It's something that God is doing. And to be able to be sensitive to that age and stage, right? Because you get a certain age and you feel like you get settled. You don't want to reinvent. You don't want to reorganize. You're tired of change. You're tired of moves and shifts.
Well, and in many cases, there's always going to be change. But there are times when your priorities change and what's important to you versus what's important to your spouse. And so you have to be able to communicate that. And then you all respect each other's stage.
Right.
And you know, in this new endeavor that you took on, I would say the first 3 to 4 years, you built it solo. Mm-hmm. And at first I was a little, you know, I was the one having I'm at this age, I'm at this stage. But it took, even because I was always involved, there was a moment where I was a little salty mm-hmm. about it. But I was the one that suggested that I pull back. It was my suggestion.
Right.
But then watching you figure it out successfully, that's where the little saltiness came. And so you had to work through.
You felt like you wouldn't need it no more.
Right. And you know, you worked through that. And
I want to prove to you that I can.
Right. You did. You wanted to prove that you could do it without me.
Yeah.
I wanted it was a competition. But, you know, it was, you know, it is a transition.
Yeah. And it's a God thing. So
absolutely.
So, you know, I had to understand that it was a God mandate.
Yeah.
And then discern the change of what was going on with me and you and not take it personal.
Right.
And understand that it's not because just midlife crisis, age and stage, mm-hmm. or you just being exhausted. It's just a change of God.
It was time for growth.
Absolutely.
You know, and so within that time for growth, it put a demand on both of us. Differently. And then I eventually showed up to help. But that was like, you know, a couple of years into it, where everything was already, the systems were put together. I wasn't in on the ground floor. And it was a great opportunity to celebrate you and to live in that moment of celebration, to say, look what you did.
Right.
Look what you were able to create on your own. And that was important, because mm-hmm. it just brought another layer of confidence and respect within our relationship and within, I believe, within yourself personally, that you, you know, created this whole industry separate from what, you know, we were originally doing, and it was successful, and you did it without my help.
But also, like you said, a couple of years after that, you came alone and you went to school, you got, you know, your qualifications, you begin to write grants and things of that nature. So it's just been a transition and a change, but it's been a blessing. Let me tell you what I feel, and I want to encourage all of you all that are listening to us that perhaps are going through some of the changes of age and stage. Age means you're getting older.
Right.
Stage is that you're going through the stages of normality. You know, it may be menopause, or it may be we as men, we go through
midlife crisis.
Midlife crisis. and where you wake up and say, "What have I done?" And some of this is just normal transitions of life. Make sure you maintain a profound respect for each other. I think what helped us through this journey is our love and our respect for each other in the fundamentals.
Right.
You know, like, although ministry is necessary, is something God has called us to do. We're in business. We got real estate and write books and publishing company, and there are other dynamics to it. But at the end of the day, we have to coexist and we have to love each other in the fundamentals of true honor and respect. I respect your thoughts, your mind, your opinion, and I still love you, and all of those necessities have to be there in order for you to make it through the changes and the shifts. So let's talk about something else I think is interesting and is good. Let's talk about death in us, but life in you. Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 4:12. He says, "So then death is at work in us, but life in you." And I want to parallel that, Teresa, because in working together, if we're just speaking about ministry, it is a death process, meaning that we do die to our will. There are sacrifices that have to be made in the journey of building the church and the ministry. And you give life to people, but I've seen a lot of leaders or people that work in team ministry, their marriage dies, or their intimacy die, or their communication die while they're giving life. And you tell me, I don't believe it's God's will for the marriage to die while you're giving life. I think that our will has to die, but not our relationship has to die. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your marriage isn't a sacrifice. It's not meant to be laid on the altar of sacrifice for life in someone else. Your marriage isn't the sacrifice. I think that becomes the responsibility of that couple to maintain the first thing. And yeah. The first thing is he created family. He created the union first, the husband and wife first. And then out of that, he said, be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
And so I think it's a priority. It's about, you know, how we prioritize our home, how we prioritize our relationship, which means because we're talking about building together as a team. There's no I in team, so you can't be consumed with ego or having gender wars amongst each other within your home, power struggles,
right?
Which is all a part of ego. And so you have to be able to, if anything is a sacrifice, it's going to be the ego and the self-will. Because again, we're talking about building together.
Right.
And it takes teamwork.
Right.
It takes a give and a take. It takes compromise. It takes, agreeing to disagree.
Right. And those things are handled in the dark. Right.
Right,
where other people don't see.
Absolutely.
You're giving them life, you're preaching, you're ministering to their family, you're burying their mothers and fathers and marrying their children. And, you know, the demand of ministry is quite incredible.
Right.
And what happens is those demands and stresses leak into the union of the marriage. It affects the family. And it is not God's will for that relationship to die while you're giving life to the people of God.
Absolutely.
I think some of the wisdoms that we've learned that we can stay alive while we're giving life, and the only death process we go through is dying to our will. But there are utilized or wisdom tools that we've learned, and we would always take vacations. We, all through the day, we'll tell each other how much we love each other, make sure that we provide the time to date. Those things are mandatory.
Definitely, they're essential. Yeah, having a day off, guarding that with priority and with respect, not bringing home as much as possible, not bringing home work, right. Not bringing work home, not carrying the burdens of work into the home, mm-hmm. Allowing your home to be a sanctuary.
And listening to your children, I remember we, you know, of course we would take our kids to vacation every year, and we ask our kids, you know, what are the things that you want, you would like to change? Or I remember I asked my daughter one time in vacation, I said, baby, what is it that you don't like from your dad, and what would you like for me to change? You know, that's risky.
Right.
When you talk to your kids, especially when they're little, they say anything. But what we wanted to do is guard what God has done in our family and in our life, and raise our kids to not just go to church, but be the church.
Right.
And that they would have a personal relationship with Jesus and not have a relationship based upon just the church.
Right.
And not even know God, you know. And Crystal looked at me and she said, hey, Daddy, when you come home, you don't give us your undivided attention. Of course, she said it in her little girl way, you know.
Right.
And it hit me like bricks, you know, that I'm giving life to these people at the church while there's a death process going on with me and my daughter. There's something that is dysfunctional that I'm going to have to address. And so I think that that is very important, that, you know, that we have those conversations and we continue to build the relationship so that, yes, there's death in us in the sacrifice, and we are giving life to people, but we can't die in the process.
Right. And this, and these principles work whether you're in ministry or whether you're in industry, educational system, whether
exactly.
you're in community service, a public servant. These are just tangible, timeless principles that can be applied to any, you know, genre, any work, you know, sector that you're in, and you're doing it together as a team within your relationship. These principles work. They have to be applied.
That's right.
To work. They have to be intentionally thought out, and you have to, you know, that's the most important thing, is you have to want it to work.
That's right.
And you have to not buy into the system or the train of thought that it can't happen. You know, it's this will never work, or it's impossible.
Oh, yeah, because it didn't work for this person or that
right.
person.
Right, and
yeah.
it's gonna. I remember when we entered into public, we were always in the nonprofit sector, but then we entered into a public nonprofit from the perspective of the public school system and in the penal system. And I remember someone, another couple, a well-known couple that we knew, then they were in the same industry, and they came to us, and they were so confident, and they just said, you know, good luck at this. It has the ability to destroy your marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for you. And we kind of just looked at them, and I was just like, wow, okay, that was really in your face, you know,
right.
just like, good luck, you know,
yeah.
we didn't make it. It tore us apart, but good luck on your part. And I never really forgot that. And every time we would hit a road bump, or it felt like it was, you know, getting a little hard, I would hear that, like,
mm-hmm.
good luck, you
some
know.
Yeah.
But it was
little murder.
It was like a
yeah.
good little bell in my head, because this couple was a poster child of couples, and we knew that their family fell apart, but we had no idea. And but for him to just come right out and say, you know, it was working together, and it was working together in this NPO that took us down, and grant writing and paperwork, right. And he started laying it all out, and in his mind he was saying it because he cared about us,
right?
And I never forgot that, and so it's so important that even though someone else's downfall or someone else's inabilities to succeed in something doesn't necessarily
don't
mean
have to be your story.
That it has to be your story.
In fact, you use it as
fuel.
Yeah, and information and wisdom.
Absolutely, to guard against it.
Exactly, mm-hmm. because you that are listening to us, listen, you can make it. You can have longevity. You can have the beauty of intimacy and friendship and laughter in the journey of working together in spite of being things being very demanding that tries to push upon you to the degree of depression and disunity. And because I believe one thing God worked within us, which I so appreciated by His grace, is the fundamentals of, like I said, honor, respect, and understanding that it is not God's will for the pressure to undermine us and break us to the degree that everything begin to fall apart.
Right, that there's death literally in us, but life in those that are receiving from the services that we're offering. We should never be so occupied with providing services, whatever it is, and presenting excellence and being the answer to someone's problem.
Right.
We should never make that the total focus, that we forget that we have to refuel and set proper boundaries and do the things that we need to do for ourselves to maintain our self-agency.
Yeah.
We still have to be a priority.
Right, and willing to make the sacrifices necessary of what is priority.
Right.
You know, like there were times where we had to take some days off.
Absolutely.
At the expense of everything blowing up.
Right.
Because we wasn't getting along. It was pressure. It was an argument. And we pulled out before the burnout.
Absolutely.
And went away for a couple of days and laughed a little bit and got reconnected and loved each other.
Right, because when you're building as a team, you both become the essential workers. You both become the frontline workers. You're in the grind. You're in the grind together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that can, within itself, can create a lot of tension within the relationship.
And you forget that you're married.
And you forget to laugh. You forget to be friends. You forget to date because, you know, now it's more of a, you're my business partner.
That's right.
And we've got to, you know, reach this deadline, and we've got to sign these contracts, or we've got to, you know, make these power moves. And all those things are essential,
right?
But they're not essential to the death of the primary, which is the relationship.
Right. Well, that's a lot that we can say about that. But the final point, I think, is work, rest, and play.
Yes.
That is very important to working together in a corporation, business, whatever you're building, ministry. You gotta work, but you got to rest and you got to play.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to have the balance. You can't overwork yourself that there is no play.
Yeah.
And you can't overwork yourself that there is no rest. There has to be a divine balance in the whole dynamic.
Right.
Or you get lost and you'll fall out of love. You know, like, I love you, but I can't live with you. Or I love you,
but I don't like you.
But I don't like you.
Mm. And there's a difference.
There is a difference. You know, one of the things that we've learned how to do is give me 50.
Right.
You know, and somebody said, what is 50? Not $50, even though that would help, but 50 feet.
Yes.
I need 50. Yes. You know, so we know, and we don't get offended because we know what's up. It's like, look, I need some space so I can breathe. Because we have these bills, we have these contracts, we have this, we got to counsel this person, that, and it can be overwhelming. There must be some balance emotionally, mentally, so you don't drown in the circumstance.
In the responsibility.
Right.
Drown in the weight of the responsibility. And so know each other's trigger points and create create those spaces for each other where you can have individual thought and individual refueling and where you can be contemplative in your thoughts.
Don't you think that, and we know quite a few couples that have done this, was doing well in ministry for years, but ended up in divorce or ended mm-hmm. up in separation or ended up, in, they lost their family or whatever. Do you believe that the reason why that happens is because they maintain the work without rest? They maintain the work without play. They maintain the work because we've known couples that
sometimes they just played and rested and didn't do no work.
Yeah.
Forgot about the work.
That's it.
Because you know the Lord blesses when we stay in tune to the obedience to the mission and the purpose.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to remember what was the purpose. Why we didn't come together just because I thought you was handsome and good looking.
What you talking
there
about?
There was a purpose behind.
I thought it was,
No, it was more than just good looks and, you know, nice words. I mean, what was the mission?
Yeah.
What were we trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
Something bigger than us. And so that's important. So you have to keep everything in priority.
So what do play look like in your opinion?
Well, play for me is, you know, give me, you know, some water, some white sand and an umbrella and just, you know, let me lay out in the sun. That's just play.
Right.
Play for me is traveling, seeing new places, meeting new people, finding new adventures, historical monuments.
Yeah.
And, you know, play is different for everyone.
So, you know, because some business people are pastors or whatever, a lot of them and young ministers don't know the play side.
Right.
When we say play, well, when some people say play, they mean I'm gonna get me a cigarette.
Yeah.
You know, which is self-destructive when you start going down drugs, because pressure can make you
want to drink.
Go back to that old Adam.
Hit it, yeah.
Right, and you. But play to the believer that loves God. Longevity is finding yourself another side of who you are. A pleasure.
Yeah, the things that you enjoy, whether it's painting, yeah. reading books.
That's important because
right.
if you lose that side,
absolutely.
You're vulnerable to the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have no oxygen.
Right.
So play for me, of course, is fishing.
Yes. Fishing.
Yeah. fishing.
And fishing.
Yes. I love the fish because I love the sound of the water, man.
Yeah.
You know, I love the birds that are, you know, singing and just being in the wild and in the, you know, in the elements. And I take my little gun with me just in case an alligator jump out of the water. I can take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on my snake boots. And, you know, I'm an outdoors man.
Right.
And I can pray. And then, of course, come home to my wife and talk to a little bit.
So play, that's important, you know. And at this level and stage of our life, play is also having our five grandkids.
All five.
Around and just enjoying them and watching them and teaching them new things.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. You said play, rest, and work.
Yeah. So the last is the work piece, and we're going to sign out in just a sec here. You know, I find my rest in prayer. My rest is in prayer. And what do you classify as your rest?
For me, you know, having worship, having literally no thought, where I can just sit and hear myself and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, rest for me, to not have to tend to anyone, not respond to anyone's need, and just have the, you know, that a moment, hours, where I'm just kind of, you know, doing what I want to do with no thought.
Right.
Of responsibility. I don't got to remember, oh, I need to put the, you know, water the plants. Oh, I forgot I need to mail a letter. Or, oh, I forgot I need to, you know, not having to think about anything other than whatever it is that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
That doesn't have any responsibility attached to it.
Mm-hmm. That's that soul care.
Yes.
You know,
that's important because when we do work, really work.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we're, like, focused, and, like, we're in it, and it's intense, and it's regiment, and it's line item, and it's crossing every T. It's getting it done.
Right.
And so, generally, you know, when we talk about work, we know how to do that.
Right.
It's really the rest part and the play part.
It has to be
that we have to work on.
You got to be intentional
doing, because we know how to be workers, because we didn't get nothing was handed to us.
Let me ask you this, and then we're gonna have to sign out. Why do you think leaders struggle with this so hard, the rest and play piece?
I think sometimes we don't. It could be that we don't feel that we deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel worthy of it, like we haven't done enough to earn it. And that would be, I would classify that as wrong thinking.
Yeah.
That would be incorrect.
Because scripturally, the Lord created, you know, on the seventh day he rests.
Right, and he wants us to rest, and
not only a principle, but it is a biblical command.
Right.
That we enjoy the journey through rest and play, wholesome play.
Right.
And that keeps those three loves within the union of the relationship, the eros, which is the sexual, filial, which is friendship, and agape, which is self-sacrificial love, that those three can be cultivated, and you can win. Well, listen, I am so blessed to have my wife here with me and share with me on these particular two podcasts. And thank you, baby, so much. I love you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to have you more often.
I would love to come back.
All right. I love you. Hey, listen, we're going to sign out, but I want to just encourage you once again with my new book, The Journey to Greatness. I'm sure it will touch you. It will bless you. And it will change your life forever. Also, I want you to continue to tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. I believe your life will never be the same. Remember, it is better to live by principle than to die by impulse. You go with God and be blessed.